Okay, so I have this dog. Her name is Jody. I named her after my mother. That's fun. Sit, Jody. We can discuss whatever neuroses were behind that some other time. She's a wire fox terrier, and she is a hoarder. From the time she was a puppy, Jody made sport of hiding bones, biscuits, and balls. Now, you must understand that this is a very precise and secretive business. If I offer her a bone, she acts as diffident as an ice queen until my back is turned. And then begins the hunt for a perfect hiding place. The toe of a shoe, behind the philosophy section in my bookcase. Or between the stair rail and the wall in the deanery office. Now, if she catches you watching her, she affects an award-winning nonchalance as she reverses her steps until you're not watching anymore and looks for a new place. Then, each morning, like a little four-legged stockbroker, she goes around and she inspects her holdings, occasionally moving them around. Now, I wouldn't know this, of course, except that betimes I'll reach down into the recycling bin underneath my desk for a piece of scrap paper and, like little Jack Horner, pull out a bone. It isn't that Jody never liquidates her assets, but her general strategy is to buy and hold until there's a new acquisition. Only then will she risk eating the bone I gave her the day before yesterday. Now, why am I telling you this? Because this is Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is a premier occasion for us to consider the bounty that has fallen into our own hands and how or if we spend it. I assure you that Jody Tavender Tucker is a first world dog. She has more toys than will fit in her box by the fireplace. She is on a raw food diet and snacks on organic freeze-dried chicken liver, not to mention biscuits and specially cut soup bones. Not once in her 759 days has she gone hungry or unfed. This dog won the cradle lottery. When I watch her stockpiling resources against the near impossibility of dearth or famine, I wonder how we ourselves must look to God. God who, as the psalmist says, opens wide his hands and satisfies the needs of every living creature. I'm not saying that people shouldn't be prudent in the management of their money or their time or their energy. No one should have to live paycheck to paycheck or hand to mouth, which alas is the case for far too many people in this city. But I am challenging the assumption of scarcity that causes so many of us to clutch our wealth to our bosom as if there really wasn't enough to share, to be savers rather than spenders, as if the point of life was to have as much possible of ourselves left over or unspent by the time we die. I'm reminded of the words of George Bernard Shaw, who, despite not being a man of faith, certainly understood what the church means when we speak of living out of a theology of abundance rather than scarcity. And he says this: "This is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community, and as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. For the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I've got to hold up for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations." To be a good steward of the bounty God places in our hands is to enjoy it, and yes, it is to spend it for the sake of the common good. We don't think we can afford to share, and we imagine that our primary responsibility is to ourselves. You know, I am grateful every day for my parents, who built charitable giving into the budget for my allowance right from the day at age 7 when I received my first dime. They didn't think it silly or child-rearing overkill to insist that each week I put a penny of that munificent sum in my little offering envelope from Christ Church Cathedral. They taught me to share and to believe that no matter how little I had something to offer. Abundance rather than scarcity. Now, at bottom, I think all this has something to do with a fundamental posture of trust. Jody, despite my never having broken trust with her for 759 days, continues to hoard against the possibility that I will one day prove unreliable. The trustful sharing of what one has with others is written into the Judeo-Christian understanding of stewardship. Do you notice, for example, that the Israelites are always commanded to bring the first fruits of the harvest as a sacrificial offering to God? That's pretty risky business, because who's to say that the crop won't fail or the rains and the hail won't come? And similarly, when St. Paul is collecting money for the poor of Jerusalem, he tells the Corinthians to set aside their offering for that fund on the first day of the week. They aren't to wait until Saturday night to see what's left over, but to make their gift for the sake of others first, without knowing how the rest of the week will turn out. Our offering is both an act of trust that the good earth and our employer and our friends and our family can be counted on to provide for us, and it is a testimony to the absolute importance of sharing. I have to tell you, I don't have much hope for Her Royal Highness the Princess Jody, but I do have hope for the church. We, who gather week by week to offer a great thanksgiving over the bread and the wine and the money that we have brought with us. We, who receive those gifts back without fail as the presence of God and the power to help others. We can refuse to hoard or hold back, and we can choose to give, to share, out of a sense of abundance, joyfully. Amen.